Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Praise God. Now last week, we were talking about what to do when life seems boring and you don't feel spiritual. Or how to overcome feeling disconnected, discouraged, and dull. Have you ever felt that way before? Thank God we're getting free of that once and for all. Free, 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 forever free. I said forever free. See, we got to get that mentality that, you know, he on the sun says free is free indeed. And we shouldn't just think that, yeah, we get free for a little while and then we go, you know, we fall down again and come back underneath these things. No, let's believe God. We get it, we get it. And we don't go under these things anymore. All these oppressive things, all these feelings of being disconnected, discouraged, and dull. And in quick review, number one, you have to ask yourself the question. This is to avoid becoming boring and feeling unspiritual. Am I spending sufficient time with the Lord every day? How's my obedience? Am I doing what I know to do? Number three, am I patiently enduring? Number four, am I walking in integrity? Number five, am I partaking of my labors? Not just working for someday, but we're enjoying the fruit of our labors now. Am I anxious about anything? Check up on yourself. Am I spending time with other believers? Because, man, we don't want to be isolated. Am I giving and ministering to others? Am I being pruned? Remember, there's a season where the Lord will prune us and bring correction into our life. It's never comfortable, and you'll never feel spiritual when you're going through it. Number 10, am I eating, exercising, and sleeping good? Number 11, am I doing anything I like to do, or is it only what I feel I have to do? In other words, we're living in a continual state of forced labor. Always having to do things. Have to get up, have to go to work, have to this, have to that. You know, we need to get that all turned around and realize, no, I get to get up. I get to do this. I get to do that. We're living life because we want to live life. We're doing what we're doing because we want to do it. We're not slaves. We're not being driven. Our God's not driving us, so why would any of us be being driven? Right? And so number 12, do I have questions for God that aren't being answered? And we talked about not focusing on your questions, but just focusing on your answers and do what you know to do. So that was all about what to do when life seems boring and you don't feel spiritual. Tonight, we're going to talk about how to overcome feeling disoriented. What does it mean to be disoriented? To cause someone to lose their sense of direction. That's what this word disoriented means. To lose your sense of direction. To lose one's way. Feel confused. Have you ever just felt like you've lost your way and you're confused and you just seem out of touch? Out of touch with God, out of touch with God's plan for your life. Just out of touch with the church or whatever. It also means to cause to lose the sense of time, place, or identity. Disoriented people say things like, I'm not sure where I'm going in life. Where am I going? Where is all this leading me? They get very disoriented about the direction for their life, the direction that they're going. Have you ever felt that way before? I said, have you ever felt that way before? Because I know there's more than just a out there, because God put this on my heart, and it is pretty clear to me that this is what we need right now. So, you know, you could feel like you just don't know, you know, what am I doing in life? Where am I headed in life? I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing anymore. You know, we're doing stuff, going through the motions of life, but, you know, we just don't know what we're really supposed to be doing. That can be very disorienting. Can it? They say things like, it seems like I'm just going around in circles. Just feel like I'm spinning my wheels. You know, I got a lot going on, but I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. Has anybody said anything like that at any point in their life? What am I supposed to be accomplishing? What am I supposed to be doing in life? And so there's this confusion that comes in that can overwhelm people, just cause them not to be able to think straight. It's almost like you're drunk. You know, you're just drunk with your concerns about your life. Just, you feel kind of intoxicated, which simply means to be overwhelmed. Just overwhelmed with everything. You know, a person that drinks a lot can get pretty disoriented. They can just get pretty, how do they get to the point where things are spinning? Well, you know, it can get that way with the cares of life. It can get that way with the cares of life. That's why the Bible says I think it's 1 Peter, casting all your cares on him. Be sober-minded. He puts being sober-minded. Sober is the opposite of being drunk. He puts that in connection with casting all your cares on the Lord. Cares, worries, anxieties, fears. See, because cares and anxieties and fears can be overwhelming. They can be intoxicating. They can cause you to become drunk. They can cause you to become disoriented in life. So we don't want to be disoriented in life. We're not supposed to be disoriented in life. Jesus is the light of the world. Him living in us makes us the light of the world. So we're not in the darkness. We're not in confusion. And the Bible says, we have the mind of Christ. How many of you know if you've got the spirit of Christ living on the inside of you, then you've got the mind of Christ. You've got his mind. And I love what it says over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. It says, you have an anointing of the Holy One, and you know all things. So if we know all things, then we don't need to be walking around saying, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know if I'm supposed to be here. I don't know if I'm supposed to be there. No, thank God, we've got an anointing of the Holy One, and we know. We know all things. And so we're not to live in a state of confusion. Now, of course, this being disoriented is a demonic thing. It's not just caused by natural things. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness. Rulers of the darkness. Of course, we're talking about being disoriented, talking about confusion. We're talking about spiritual darkness. The rulers of the darkness of this world. So there are demon powers that are behind causing people to become disoriented and confused about themselves, about their lives, and losing their sense of direction and identity in life. And if you turn with me over to Hosea chapter 2, Lord had given me a revelation of this quite some time ago. Having this revelation has caused me to be able to identify immediately when the devil is trying to move in on me or move in on other people to cause them to become disoriented. You know, if you're disoriented, you're going to end up discouraged. And if you stay discouraged, you're going to end up depressed, right? And it just keeps going down, down, down from there. But thank God, through the Word, we can identify these spirits that when they try to come moving in on us, to cause us to become disoriented. And here in Hosea chapter 2, in verse 6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in. My margin says, wall up her wall. I mean, you're walled up. You're double walled. So that she cannot find her paths. Notice that. She can't find her path. In other words, she can't get direction. She can't find her way. She's confused. She's lost her way. She's out of touch. Lost her sense of direction. Right? That's what it's saying. And of course, we know we're in the Old Testament here. And so, you know, God takes the hit for everything, and you don't hear much about the devil. And there's reasons for that, which we've covered in times past. And so we know, really, this is a very demonic thing, that this person is being hedged up with thorns so that they can't find their path. They're walled in. Have you ever felt just like you're boxed in? I mean, you could be standing out in the middle of a wide open field physically, but you just feel like you're in a box. You just feel like you're trapped. You feel like you're confined. You feel like you're bound. You don't feel free. Have you ever felt that way before? Well, see, he's describing that right here. And he says it's something spiritual. It's a person that's being walled in. They're being walled in. They're being, we could say, boxed in. They're being hedged in. They got a hedge of thorns all around them spiritually. And it's causing them to become disoriented. They can't find their way. See, this is what the devil will try to do to people. He tries to come in and oppress people so that they feel trapped, they feel boxed in. And again, if that happens, you're going to start feeling discouraged. They become disoriented. And of course, if you're disoriented, you can't bear much fruit for God. You become paralyzed in your ability to be able to serve God and fulfill his plan for your life. And this is something that's really very common. And we got to recognize, you start feeling that way, just say, oh, okay, the enemy's trying to encircle me. The enemy's trying to come around me and build big walls around me. He's trying to box me in. I remember one time I was here at the church. I was in the Word. I started feeling boxed in. I started feeling confined. And so as a result of that, you know, you feel like you're out of touch with everything around you. Even God. You know, you can't really expect God to hear you because you're trapped inside some kind of box. And I just felt that way. I got to get out of here. And I just got up, and I just walked outside and went out there in the field. I had to get outside. I mean, I felt like I was just being suffocated. And so I went outside and began to talk to the Lord, began to pray. And it was an effort. It was hard. It wasn't easy to pray. Because you just, again, you felt so isolated, even from God, that it was difficult to even pray. But I had to break through it. And I just stayed out there, and I started shouting. I started praising God, and I started, because, you know, I didn't want to shout here in the church and stuff. So I went out there and just started shouting, carrying on. I was determined to get myself out of there. I was kicking at that box, kicking at those walls until I began to feel free and begin to break out of it. But I've watched people do that to the point where they are suffocating, and it ends up affecting them physically, and they can't use their faith. Now, sometimes there are openings, there's things in our life that it could open the door, give place to the devil to try to move in, cause us to be able to be boxed in. One of those things is just being ignorant of Satan's devices, which we're taking care of that right now. Just people being ignorant of this. I don't know why I feel this way. Well, you won't say that anymore. You won't say that anymore. You say, I know exactly why I'm feeling this way. The enemy is trying to encircle me. He's trying to box me in. And so once you recognize it, then you can shake it off real quick before it really begins to take root. And your walls are walled in by other walls, so that there's multiple walls that you feel like you're just trapped inside of. So you can recognize it right away. So ignorance is an avenue by which the devil gets in and will cause a person to become disoriented in life. And then when it's talking about being hedged in, notice in verse 6 says, therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in so that she cannot find her path. Now, Proverbs 15:19 says, the way of a lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. So notice that we see there that hedge of thorns again, don't we? And here, it's blaming it on laziness. That laziness is the thing that is giving place to the enemy to come in and hedge a person in with a hedge of thorns, wall a person in. So sometimes, as we see in Hosea, it's idolatry in its context. Like I said, Hosea 2, verse 6, in its context, it's talking about spiritual adultery, cheating on the Lord, loving the world, worshiping other things, serving other things, not serving God. See, that can give place to the enemy to come in, all right? So ignorance is one thing, just not being aware of Satan's devices can allow him to come in and cause you to become disoriented. Number two, idolatry, loving the things of the world, can cause you to become isolated and disoriented, could give place to the devil to create that in your mind, in your life. And then, of course, we see laziness. Laziness, just being lazy about what you know to do, can cause the enemy to be able to come in and cause you to begin to become oppressed. And then, of course, we understand that being disoriented has a lot to do with doubting. Don't doubt. Keeping yourself from doubting will keep you from being disoriented. Doubting what? Well, doubting the Lord. Doubting God. Doubting what you know to be true in your heart. You know, the devil is very subtle. And he'll come in and he'll just begin to sow his doubts in your mind, in your thought life. He'll just come in and just throw questions at you, just like he did in the very beginning with Adam and Eve. Remember, he came up to Eve and he says, has God said? Did God tell you that you should eat of that tree? Right? So he'll come up, he'll slip up alongside a believer and he'll say, has God really told you that that's what you're going to do for him? Has God really told you to go to this church? Has God really told you? And whatever it might be, there could be a number of things that the enemy might say to you. You know, the enemy will come along, just again, just sowing his little doubts. Are you really supposed to be here? Is this really where you're supposed to be working? Is this really the person you are supposed to marry? I mean, after all, don't you remember your high school sweetheart? Doubt. Doubt. You start thinking on these things, and next thing you know, boy, you'll be in full-blown unbelief. And you'll be in confusion about your life, who you're with, where you are, where you're supposed to be. You'll start questioning everything. If you start listening to those kind of doubts, you'll start questioning everything before long. The enemy will come along and he'll say, look at how they treat you. You know they don't like you. Nobody says hello to you anymore. Right? So, you know, do you really belong here? Look at yourself. You're not good enough to be here. You don't compare with these people. They're way beyond you. You're just a flesh creature. He'll get you to start looking at yourself, questioning the people around you. If God was going to use you, he already would have. But he's quite obviously not going to do a thing with you because he hasn't done anything with you yet. Can you really trust these people? What if they're not right? I mean, you know, there are people that aren't right. Maybe they're not right. Maybe. And you start entertaining these things, and then you start speaking these things, and next thing you know, you're going to start feeling disoriented. Those doubts are going to begin to cause you to become disoriented. You know, I think of Peter out there on the water. He got out there on the water with Jesus. I mean, he's walking. Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come to you on the water. Jesus, come on. He steps out of the boat. Peter walks to Jesus on the water. And the next thing you know, the devil slipped in there, right there in the presence of Jesus, and said, look at these waves. Look at these waves. Do you hear the wind howling? Can't you feel the wind in your face? You know how deep it is out here and how dark it is? Do you know how fast you can get lost at sea? And I mean, he got his eyes off Jesus. He started questioning, yeah, what in the world am I doing out here on the water? And I mean, very quickly, a man walking on the water as bold as a lion begins to sink like a lead weight. Just begins to sink down. And that's why you got to watch doubt, because it works that way. You could be walking tall. You'll walk out of here tonight, bless his holy name. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. You know, I mean, you'll just feel plugged into the Lord. And then some thoughts will come to your mind. You know, when you were leaving, Charlie never even looked at you. I think he's offended with you. Why would he be offended with me? Well, look at you. And next thing you know, these thoughts like, and I mean, you were just walking out there by faith, and next thing it's like, help! You're sinking. You're just sinking like a dead weight. You got to watch out for doubt. Everybody say, don't doubt. Don't doubt. Amen. Don't doubt. Focus on what you know. When questions start coming like that, just start answering the things you have answers for. The things you know to be true. Just start declaring the things you know to be true. Don't start declaring all these questionable, doubtful things. Question what you know to be true so that you don't fall into the snare of doubt and become disoriented again. And another thing to help keep us from feeling disoriented or to overcome being disoriented if we're already feeling it is to think right, which of course connects with doubting. But think right. Make sure you think on what you know to be true. What you know to be true. Of course, starts right here with the Word of God. What do you know to be true? Think on that. Think on that. Because what most people don't realize is that thinking is spiritual drinking. What you're thinking on, your spirit is taking in. Your spirit is drinking in. So if you keep thinking or negativity or drinking negativity, you'll end up drunk with anxiety. If you keep drinking negativity, you'll be drunk with anxiety. So watch what you're thinking. Keep your thoughts positive. Keep your thoughts positive and stay focused on what you know to be true. Many people that are in a funk are spiritually drunk, thinking on all these questionable things, doubtful things. Number 6, don't panic. Don't panic when pressure comes. A lot of folks, when they get under pressure, they begin to panic, and panicking will cause a person to become disoriented. Quickly go with me to Judges chapter 7. There's a powerful illustration of this. How panicking can cause major disorientation. Cause people to destroy themselves. Judges the 7th chapter. This is the story of Gideon. And God has called Gideon to go out and fight against the Midianites. And the Midianites, there were so many of them that they filled the countryside like locusts, the armies of the Midianites. I mean, you could number them all. I mean, just people like the grains of sand on the sea covering the countryside. And anyway, Gideon, he ends up with 300 people. 300 men are going to go out and fight against an innumerable company of warriors. 300. But they've heard from God, and God has confirmed it to Gideon more than one time and assured his heart that the Lord is with him and he will defeat the Midianites. And so God gives him some wisdom and he tells him what to do. And what they do is he takes his 300 men and he divides them up on top of a mountain, on the mountains that surround the valley where the Midianites fill the place. Let's look at it here. Chapter 7, and let's pick it up in verse 20. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers they held. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. Isn't this cool? So he divides, Gideon divides his men up into three companies. They all got a torch in a jar in one hand and a trumpet in the other hand. And then they blow the trumpet, smash the pitcher. So you hear this crash all around. You hear trumpets blaring all around. Then the torches go up. It looks like they're surrounded. And what happens? The Midianites panic. They become so panicked, and so full of fear that they rise up and they just start killing one another because they thought the enemy was all around them. They didn't know who the enemy was. They thought we're being invaded. And just it was every man for themselves. They lost all order. They lost all control. And they ended up being defeated by Gideon's 300 men because the majority of the Midianites went ahead and killed themselves. You know, the devil is defeated. But he's doing a pretty good job of getting the church to defeat themselves. He's got Christians killing one another. He's got Christians taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and just speaking the word at each other, cursing each other, attacking one another. He's got us fighting with one. He's got us in a panic. He's got so many Christians just in a panic, just running to and fro, and they're being self-destructive. The devil just comes in, blows his trumpet, makes some noise. Just does what he does, and people start to screaming. People start to fleeing. People start to run in every direction, and they start killing themselves. They start destroying themselves, and the devil just sits back, and he has an iced tea and watches. The defeated devil, he's toothless, he's been defanged, he's been placed under our feet, and he sits back with an iced tea, and he watches you and me destroy ourselves because of a great panic. So we see that panicking causes people to be disoriented. Did the Midianites become disoriented? Oh, big time. Very disoriented, yes. So, don't panic. Never yield to panicking. Stuff goes on, you don't understand what's going on? Stand still. Relax. God knew this was going to happen before it ever happened. It's not a surprise to him. And he's the one that ultimately is going to take care of it. Huh? There's stuff that happens sometimes. You hear something just happened to Charlie. People, and they go running like they're going to save the day. You're not going to save the day anyway, so there's no sense in running full steam ahead to try to fix the thing. We're trusting God. Huh? He's going to fix the thing, and I believe he's already seen ahead and provided. I believe he's already seen ahead and provided. So if he's not shocked and surprised so that he's been knocked off his throne, I'm not going to act like I'm in a panic and out of control. I'm going to follow him. And sometimes you just got to stand still. I love that. They made all this noise, and then they just stood there. They just stood there. When everybody else is panicking around you, sometimes the best thing you can do is just stand there. Don't say anything. Don't do anything. That can sometimes be the most spiritual thing to do. Nothing. Number 7. Be a doer. Be a doer of the word. Notice this here in James chapter 1. In verse 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only. Watch this. Deceiving yourselves. Deceiving yourselves. If you deceive yourself, then you're going to be obviously disoriented about your life. You're going to become disoriented. To deceive yourself is to confuse and disorient yourself. And how does it happen? By hearing one thing and doing another thing. That will deceive you. That will confuse you. I'm hearing this, I'm saying amen, I love this word, I read this word, I feed on this word, the word, and then we don't do the word and we do something else. So we see ourselves hearing one thing and doing something else, and we become confused about who we really are and what we're doing. Thus, we're disoriented. We need to be a doer of the word, not just hearing one thing and doing something else. Amen. You know, this could be illustrated with driving a vehicle. You know, there's been times, hasn't happened a lot, but it's fresh in my mind because it did happen pretty recently. Driving in the car, and there's a conversation going on in the car with some folks, and I'm really listening, hearing the conversation, intently listening to the conversation. So I'm hearing the conversation, but I'm doing something else. I'm driving the car. I'm doing the car, but hearing the conversation. And then all of a sudden, I got disoriented. I looked, and I didn't know what street I was on. It didn't take long. I picked up on it real quick, where I was located. I'm on the right street. Yeah, I just got to make a right-hand turn here. Yeah. But I got disoriented for a second because I got so absorbed into what I was hearing while I was doing something else. I wasn't focused on what I was doing. I was just focusing on what I was hearing. Verse 23 in James 1, he goes on, he says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." That sounds like a person that's been disoriented. That sounds like a confused person. That sounds like a person who has lost their identity. They don't even know who they are. They forgot what kind of man they were. They got disoriented. "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a," watch this, "forgetful hearer." Not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. "This one will be blessed in what he does." So we need to be doers of the word, and we must not forget what we've heard. So, number 8, don't forget. Don't forget. Remember, he immediately forgets what kind of man he was. He forgets what the word says about him. Don't forget what the truth says. Don't be forgetful of the truth and what the word of God says about you. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. That's an easy one. Right? I'm more than a conqueror. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. By his stripes, I'm healed. See, this is the truth. Don't forget the truth. Don't be forgetful. Which means what? You're going to have to constantly be reminding yourself of the word. Constantly remind yourself of what you've heard. When you leave here tonight, because you're taking such good notes, or because you like going back and listening to the CD, you're going to remind yourself. You're going to build this thing into you so you don't forget it. You're not going to forget about being disoriented and how to overcome it and even how to avoid it. You're not going to forget it. Say, "I won't forget. I will not forget." Then verse 26, it says, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue," or control his tongue, "but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." Notice that. there it is again, deceives his own heart. Your mouth can deceive you. That just makes me sick. Does it really? Well, no, I'm just saying it. Why are you speaking lies to yourself? Your spirit picks up on what you're saying, and it receives that and becomes deceived. And he says, this makes him sick. And it reacts accordingly after a while. You build that into yourself. You keep saying things that aren't right and aren't true and say things that you don't want really to happen in your life, but you just say these things. You deceive yourself into it. You talk yourself into it. So we have to watch about that. You can deceive your heart, thus confuse your heart, thus cause yourself to become disoriented. By what? By not having control of your tongue. So number 9, control your tongue. Control your tongue. And then here's a big one. Press for the goal. Press for the goal. You say, what do you mean? Well, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. In verse, this is actually good. We can add this. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That's a good thing to do. Don't forget what the word says, but forget the negative things of your past. Forget the negative things of your past. Thank God God forgets. He's not holding things against you. Why would you? Why would you let the devil? No, forget those things which are behind you. That's a big part of being able to see what's ahead, to have vision for what's out in front of you. Sometimes folks are so busy looking behind. That's another thing you could do in your car, you know. You can be so busy looking through the rearview mirror. Now, I told you to sit down back there now and tell me that that's what matters. And you go on for about a minute. Next thing you know, you look at the road and go, ooh, I don't think I've been watching the road. I don't know what I'm talking about. Looking through the rearview mirror. Thank God his mercy endures forever. Aren't you glad? Thank God for angels. You know you needed them. But if you keep looking back, always looking back, that'll cause you to get disoriented. That'll cause you to lose a sense of where you're going. Huh? Lose your direction in life if you keep looking back. So learn to forget the past. Somebody say, I'm a new creation. Old things are old. They've passed away. All things are new. Hallelujah. I'm not going to hold my past against me. I'm not going to let the devil hold my past against me. I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward. Praise God. That'll help keep your mind clear. That'll help keep you pressing for the goal. The goal. The thing that you know to do. The thing that God's instructed you to do. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We gotta stay focused on the main goal for what God's led us to do. You say, what do you mean? Well, many people lose sight of the main thing. They lose sight of the main purpose for what they're doing by getting all focused on all the many little details that come along in life's journey as we're going forward to fulfill the main purpose of our life. There's a main purpose for why you get up in the morning. There's a goal. There's something you're reaching for. And in the process of reaching for that and fulfilling that goal, there's going to be a lot of little tasks. A lot of little tasks that are going to come along and demand your time. And you're going to have to give time to them. But in doing those things, fulfilling all those tasks, don't lose sight of the goal, of the main thing, the main purpose for which you've been called. Keep reaching for what's ahead. while working on what is at hand. Don't be distracted from your main objective by all the little fires that spring up in life. The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. There's a lot of little fires that spring up, and you got to put out a fire here and put out a fire here, and you got to deal with this, you got to deal with that, but they're not the main thing. Don't get all entangled in those things. Keep your focus on the main thing. What's the main thing? What's the main thing? Find the main thing. What's the main thing? That's what you're going after. That's what you're fulfilling. You know, it's kind of like when I was in karate, we used to break boards. Today the boards they break, I don't know if they're as tough to break as the boards we had to break. But, you know, we had to break boards. And so, you know, what I would do is I'd have these guys hold these boards. And I've shared this illustration before. And they would hold these boards. I'd put a couple guys there, put a third guy supporting them. And we'd put a few boards together, make it nice and thick. And they'd hold those boards like this. And they would put them in there so that it wouldn't move when I kicked it or punched it or elbowed it or whatever I was going to do to that board to break it. But when I went to break the board, I knew that if I focused on the board, I would never break it. I would probably break my hand. I had to focus past the board to the man's sternum that was holding the board. I had to see past the board to the person holding the board so that when I went to break the boards, my forward motion didn't stop when I reached the board. If my focus was on the board, then the board becomes the goal. The board becomes my main vision. The board becomes the main thing. Board's not the main thing. Going through the board, getting beyond the board is the main thing. But if I just focus on the board as the main thing, then when I hit it, psychologically, everything's going to shut down and say, well, you reached your goal. You hit the board. You hit your board. And it's going to hurt because we ain't going through. I'm going to absorb all that momentum. I got to look past the board. As I look past the board, when I hit the board, I'm not moved by the board. I'm not stopped by the board because I'm not done yet. I'm going somewhere else. And that's how it is in life. You got to have the main goal, the vision for your life in front of you. And then as you keep going, don't get entangled with all the affairs of this life. Just do what you got to do on the way to where you're going. You understand what I'm saying? This is huge. I believe this is one of the biggest reasons why people become disoriented. People tie their hands by focusing on what is at hand rather than on the main plan. Focus on the main plan. And then you'll be able to just deal with the things at hand without getting all entangled by them. So when we're talking about pressing for the goal, we're talking about vision. And so you have to have a clear vision of what you are to be doing. And that's why the Bible says, write the vision down. Write the vision down. Make it plain. Know what the vision is. Write it down. For me, I mean, you know, there are specific things that I know to accomplish. I know my main goal is to get this done. And so then there's a lot of little things that come along that we've got to knock off on the way to getting the main thing done. But I know what the main thing is. And that's what I'm pressing for. That's what I'm reaching for. And so if you know you don't have maybe a specific vision of something of something you're supposed to do, what's my main thing? What's my main thing? That was a question I had asked God years back when the church was still fairly new. People were coming and say, what's the vision of the church? What's the vision of the church? And I didn't have a good answer. I wasn't sure. I said, you know, I don't know. So I'd say different things. But then I went out and I prayed. I said, Lord, I said, everybody's asking me what the vision of the church is. And I said, you've never told me what the vision of the church is. What's the vision of the church? And he spoke right back to me. He said, Jesus. Jesus. I said, well, I've been doing that. Jesus, when all else fails, focus on Jesus.
Focus on Jesus. Amen. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. Jesus. Come back to Jesus. Now, as you're focused on Jesus, there'll probably be some things that he'll begin to tell you to do. He'll lead you to do. He'll direct you to do. He'll give you other goals. But he's the main goal. Knowing him. Pleasing him. Right? He's the main vision. He's our main vision. So write the vision down. Know what that vision is. And keep it out in front of you. And of course, when we're talking about writing down the vision, we're talking about being organized. Being organized. Everybody say, be organized. Yeah, a lack of organization will cause disorientation. So you're writing the vision down. You're writing things down. You know, there's a lot of stuff that comes to me. If I don't write it down, it's amazing how fast it'll go right out of my mind. And I've learned, I write it down. And now with all these tablets and iPads and everything else, it's easy. You don't even have to write it. You can speak to it. Write the vision, speak the vision down. Just speak into things. Beep. You speak it, say period and everything. It puts it right in there for you. No excuse. Write it down. Be organized. This is going to help you to keep from being disoriented in life. Keep things simple. Just like we went back to Jesus. You know what, God, it's always simple. God doesn't make things difficult. So number 13, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Tell somebody, keep it simple. That's right. Amen. Because the Bible says in Psalm 119, 130, it says, the entrance of thy word gives light, and he gives understanding to the simple. Keep it simple, you'll get understanding, which will wipe out all confusion, and you won't get disoriented. Can you say amen? Then number 14, just take what God gives. Just take what God gives. God doesn't give us more than we can handle. Now, a lot of people use that when they get sick. God doesn't give us more than we can handle, so we can handle this sickness. I got news for you. He didn't give it to you. He didn't give it to you, honey. That's what the devil gave you, and you've received it as a gift from God. But it's not a gift from God. You need to throw that one out. Say, I'm not receiving that. Are you hearing me? Many times people take from the devil more than they can handle. Keep it simple. Don't take more than you can handle. Just do what God gives you. He didn't give you everything. Jesus had that attitude. He went through life. People were crying out for him, begging him. And sometimes he had an answer. You know, it was pretty rough, his answer. But he said, I wasn't sent except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He knew what he was sent to do. I'm not sent to affect the whole world right now. Ultimately, my ministry will. But that's not what, that's in my earthly ministry, no. I'm just sent for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we're not to be led by needs. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. All right? So, but people get overloaded. They get overworked. And it's because they're just taking stuff on that God never told them to take on. And then lastly, number 15, stay happy. Stay happy. Life is hard for the hard-hearted. Therefore, stay happy. You can't have a hard heart and be happy at the same time. If you have a hard heart, you're going to have a closed heart. If you're going to have a closed heart, then you're going to start feeling closed in. The enemy's going to come in. You're going to feel closed in. You're going to start getting disoriented. So don't allow yourself to walk around with a sour face. Man, you just don't know. No, you don't know. You're about to become very disoriented. Be happy. I have nothing to be happy about. Is Jesus alive? Yes. There's nothing more to say. If I can't do it happy, I'm not doing it. Happily ever after starts now. I'm going to live happily ever after. When? Now. Well, when I get my this and that. No, now. You will never get to the place of living happily ever after if you don't live happily even now.
If you don't enjoy where you are on the way to where you're going, you'll never enjoy it when you get there. All right, praise God. So number one, I didn't write this down. That's what threw us all off on the numbers. Number one, ignorance. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Don't be ignorant. Number two, don't be an idolater. Number three, don't be lazy. Number four, don't be doubtful. Don't doubt. Number five, think right. Number six, don't panic. Number seven, be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Number eight, don't be forgetful concerning the things of God. Remind yourself of the things you've heard. Number nine, control your tongue. Number 10, press for the goal. Behold the goal. Keep the goal out in front of you. Write the vision down. Number 11. Number 12, be organized. Be organized. I can say a lot. I can really meddle on that one. We can talk about people's cars. I won't go there. Some people have last year's McDonald's carton in the back seat of their car. It's absurd. Last year's McDonald's carton. Sitting in the back seat of the car. I won't go there. Be organized. Clean that thing up. That'll cause you to feel cluttered. That'll cause you to get confused. Can't find your way in your car or anywhere. Just take what God gives. Don't be overly taxed. And number 14, stay happy. Stay happy. Turn to somebody and say, stay happy. Can we do this? Can we do this? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Come on, can I get a better witness than that? Yes, we can. Are we going to do this? Yes, we are. Hallelujah. No more being disoriented. Amen. Clear minds. Clear perspective on things. Praise God, we can just fly through this life blessed. Hallelujah. No more getting hedged in, praise God. No more getting walled in. Free at last. Thank God we are free at last. Can you say amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me, praise God. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Come on, let's thank Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory be to God. That was another thing. Jesus became disoriented on the cross. He hung on that cross. He said, Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Didn't he? He became disoriented on the cross. Why? Because he became a curse for us. He became a curse. And the Bible says we've been redeemed from the curse of the law because Jesus became that curse for us. And if you go to the curse of the law, confusion, being disoriented, it's all a part of the curse. Jesus became that on the cross for you and I. And it was when he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Listen, God will never forsake you. You never have to be disoriented like that. Why? Because he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And no matter what's going on, no matter how far you've drifted, you can come back and say, yeah, but he hasn't forsaken me. He's still right here. He's still right. I've done this, but he's been right here all along. I don't have to work my way back to him. I just got to say, hey, Jesus, here I am. Hallelujah. So there's no reason to get disoriented. And then, number whatever, it's your redemptive. It's your redemptive rights. And Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, praise God. Say, no, I've been redeemed from the curse of confusion and the curse of being disoriented in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give God a shout. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.